Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 6, Text 6. Bahavalokapalanam Prayasya Kshema Karmanam Bhavaha Arms Loka Palanam of the governing deities of the planets, the demigods. Prayasha, almost always. Shema karmanam, of those who are leaders and protectors of the general mass. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Lord's arms are the productive fields for the great demigods and other leaders of living entities who protect the general mass. Please repeat. The Lord's arms are the productive fields. For the great demigods and other leaders of the living entities who protect the general mass. Purport. This important verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is corroborated and nicely explained in Bhagavad Gita 10:42-42 as follows. 10:41-42. Yad yad vibhuti mat satvam tridmat urjitam eva cha tatat eva kachatvam mama tejusma sambhavam ataiva bahune tena kim gyatena tavarjuna vistya bhyaham idam krishnam ekaksena sito jagat. There are many powerful kings, leaders, learned scholars, scientists, artists, engineers, inventors, excavators, archaeologists, industrialists, politicians, economists, business magnates, and many more powerful deities or demigods like Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Surya, Varuna, and Marut, who are all protecting the interests of the universal affairs of maintenance in different positions, and all of them are different powerful parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is the father of all living entities who are placed in different high and low positions according to their desires or aspirations. Some of them, as particularly mentioned above, are specifically endowed with powers by the will of the Lord. A sane person must know for certain that a living being, however powerful he may be, is neither absolute nor independent. All living beings must accept the origin of their specific power as mentioned in this verse. And if they act accordingly, then simply by the discharging of their respective occupational duties, they can achieve the highest perfection of life, namely eternal life, complete knowledge, and inexhaustible blessings. As long as the powerful men of the world do not accept the origin of their respective powers, namely the personality of Godhead, the actions of Maya, illusion, will continue to act. The actions of Maya are such that a powerful person, misled by the illusory material energy, wrongly accepts himself as the all in all, and does not develop God consciousness. As such, the false sense of egoism, namely myself and mine, has become overly prominent in the world, and there is a hard struggle for existence in human society. The intelligent class of men, therefore, must admit the Lord as the ultimate source of all energies, and thus pay tribute to the Lord for his good blessings. simply by accepting the Lord as a supreme proprietor of everything, since he is actually so, one can achieve the highest perfection of life. Whatever a person may be in the estimation of the social order of things, if a person tries to reciprocate a feeling of love towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is satisfied with the blessings of the Lord, he will at once feel the highest peace of mind for which he is hankering life after life. Peace of mind, or in other words, the healthy state of mind, can be achieved only when the mind is situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The parts and parcels of the Lord are endowed with specific powers for rendering service unto the Lord. Just as a big business magnate's sons are empowered with specific powers of administration, the obedient son of the father never goes against the will of the father and therefore passes his life very peacefully in concurrence with the head of the family, the father. Similarly, the Lord being the father, all living entities should be fully and satisfactorily discharge the duty and the will of the father as faithful sons. This very mentality will at once bring peace and prosperity to human society. Wow. Translation once again. The Lord's arms are the productive fields for the great demigods and other leaders of the living entities who protect the general mass. Yes. Worship of superior personalities. That is the process of Krishna consciousness while we're as marginal living entities in this material world. Worship of the Father, the Supreme Father. Of course, the Lord is most kind to give us a via media of many fathers, the parampara, evam parampara praptam. There's a parampara of amazing personalities which links us in a line of great personalities, so then we can access Gornitai. Then we can access Shri Radha and Krishna. It's all a wonderful arrangement. Every time when I travel internationally, for those who travel internationally, I can't use this analogy so well in India, but because not many travel by plane. And of course, maybe some of the aristocratic brahmacharis nowadays can. But when you go international, in an international country, you go into a transit lounge. And in the transit lounge, it's like a no man's land. It's neither of the country or of the other countries. It's a neutral space. So in that way, we are all within the transit lounge of this material world. There's actually a true story. It happened in the U.S. I forgot what airport it was. But there was one man who couldn't go back to his country, but he didn't have the qualifications to be adopted by the nation. It wasn't like a sense of urgency. But he wouldn't be accepted on the U.S. side. All glories USA. I can get away with these things. Not you. No. So anyways, he was in a transit lounge for 3 years. Now, those of you who travel, you know, it's like, you know, you get delayed 8 hours. Oh, I got to get back to my service in Adelaide. I got to see the family, you know. Oh, I got to get back to Melbourne. You know, I got so much important managerial responsibilities like that. But he couldn't leave. So then he just adopted service, because it's talking about relation with the Supreme, which means seva, which means service. He was locked in the transit lounge. He did janitorial service in the airport. Now, can you imagine the limitation? You have gates, you know, and you have various stores that sell everything with no tax. What was it called? You know, free tax like that. And you have a changeover of new people, new faces. Oriental, Indian, American, Australian, every single day, changing. And he somehow got some kind of a job inside a transit lounge area.
and stayed there for 3 years. As I said, you and I may complain, 8 hours, I'm delayed. 3 years. I mean, the bathroom's there, your local facilities are there. But you see, he was in neutral turf. No one could touch him. And actually, it happened finally. It became such like a world, here's a guy living out of transit lounge. Then the U.S. finally accepted him as a, not honorary, but, a citizen by default. Too embarrassing. Too much publicity. Anyways. So in this way, we in our life are learning how we have to worship various personalities in various settings. Because when you're in a field like that, you have to obey certain laws. So like if you're traveling, you have to make sure your bags are checked in the next plane. You have to get to the gate on time. And you can't carry explosives with you, through to the next plane. Or you probably wouldn't get there anyways. But the point being is that it's a danger. There's certain rules and regulations. There's certain superiors you have to follow. But due to our quality as marginal living entities, because we become affected by the superior potencies, the spiritual potencies, and the inferior potencies, the material energy, the jiva as a marginal capacity. So in that way, we become forgetful of our best friend. We become forgetful of our Supreme Father. So then, maya sukhaya param uvido vimudha. We become, after happiness and distress, we become vimudha. We become super fool. So then you can look in the mirror and see, yes, I am an inmate of planet Earth, the material world. And I made a wrong turn somewhere because you are spirit soul. And ultimately, you have nothing to do with this body. And it's interesting to note, throughout Prabhupada's purports, he gives so many wonderful descriptions, a few sentences which really stand out, that kind of galvanize our intelligence and how to make the best use of our position. Because it's quite, like when I, again, back to the example of the transit lounge, I'm always amazed at the systematic intricacy of a field which brings people from point A to point B in a systematic way in that sense. And then I like to study how, like, this world is actually like a transit lounge. That ultimately, the so many different arrangements are there to help us go to the next situation. So just as the Lord says, sarvasitam bhutanam, hrishitu natishati, brahmyan sarvabhutanti, yantra rudani maya. In verse 1861 of the Bhagavad Gita, he makes it very clear that actually the living entities are my part and parcels. And the Supreme Lord, I am directing the wanderings of his living entities who are seated on the machine made of the material energy. So next time you can look in the mirror, you can notice this is a particular machine. And it doesn't look like a Mercedes. It doesn't look like a Porsche. It's got so many strange features this way and that way, I mean, if you're honest. Of course, maybe sometimes it's hard some to be less honest than others. Well, it's not too bad. But we can understand when you look in that mirror and you see a machine made of bile, mucus, and air, you know you've made a wrong turn somewhere. You made a wrong turn. So this is the holiday season, and because within this particular transit lounge, the material world, where we're not so much listening to our authorities, or the big thing that I've noticed, because I grew up in the Western field in the U.S., but usually the family unit is very much broken apart. The kids, they want to get that job and get out of the house as soon as they can. But the beauty we see in India and, ultimately, like Malaysia, different countries like that, is more of a family unit. The relations between the parents is more of a cohesion, which is a semblance of Vedic culture, because this verse is speaking about respect of the demigods, the different personalities, and relationship to the Supreme. The gopis would always pray, for the various demigod personalities like goddess Katyayani to get for the goal of getting Krishna as her husband. So in the same way, the proper worship of the demigods in our field transit lounge of Avaidhi Bhakti is actually to place the Lord in the center. And we can pray to unlimited personalities to become, develop devotion towards the Supreme. I think it was one time the devotees were asking Srila Prabhupada if they could worship Ganesh. Because Ganesh offers wealth. This is why Lord Shiva, he cuts in a lot of persons worship Lord Shiva because they want some material wealth, some benediction. Like even the demons are worshiping. Because that's Lord Shiva, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. He's the most merciful, the greatest of Vaishnava. He can accommodate so many different personalities. So the devotees ask Prabhupada, we need wealth for our preaching. Can we worship Ganesh? And then Srila Prabhupada says, yes, on one condition. Small little clause, you know, clause condition. You give your Guru Maharaj $100,000 a month. Jai Prabhupada. Keep things in perspective. If the devotees are given $100,000 a month, vahushak, you know, the mind go, oh, I could do so much, apart from the preaching. But the worship of the demigods are very important in order to understand of how we can properly honor our situation. And in this way, place the Supreme Lord in the center of our life. As is described here, that as long as the powerful men of the world do not accept the origins of respective powers, namely the personality of Godhead, the actions of Maya will continue to act. So in reflecting about the majesty of this material field, just studying the body, the ability of the eye to see, colors, transformations, I think Nikon Camera Company did they tried to come close to making a human eye, a special camera that could do all the things a human eye could do, but just not possible. Such a design, your body gets sick. Or just like, you know, in a few hours after a nice snanyatra and so much exercise and kirtan like this, you'll be tired and you'll go to rest at night. It's amazing how the body, even scientifically, those hours before 12 o'clock are the best times for the body to rejuvenate. The next day, you're rejuvenated. It's an amazing machine. So in this way, sometimes we can take things for granted and we become bewildered by these various embarrassments, these various machines. And we become actually wooden-headed. We develop attachment towards these various experiences. Just like Gajendra, he's a nice example, which they hear a lot in certain parts, but I'm just bringing it in because it's a good context here, you know. But you know Gajendra, who was King Indradumna in a previous life. He was Indradumna, a great devotee, not King Indradumna. And because he failed to get up when a great personality came in, then he was cursed to get the body of an elephant. Oh, you don't respect fathers? You don't respect senior personalities? Oh, elephant body. Then you have his associate. There was one sage, Huhu. And he was cursed, I think, by Augusta Muni because he was joking with the Muni. Be careful, don't joke with devotees. You never know who they are. Prabhupada said, you never know who's sitting next to you. It could be Narada Muni. So be careful. So be careful about your jokes. So I'll be real careful in class here. But anyways, is this mic to promote old age quickly? Actually, as a bit of a commercial break, whoever put the sponge kitchen swab in the harmonium to keep it from flopping off, I love that. Utility is a principle. I thought about that point. And whoever did that worked a lot of hours in the kitchen, I can tell you that. But in this way, so Huhu was cursed, and he became a crocodile. And there is a whole pastime which you're well aware of, where a battle became. Because you see, you know, that Gajendra, the king of the elephants, he had so many personalities, and you know, he had so many wives and little heffalumps, small size, and they all followed him, most powerful animal in the forest. But then by the arrangement of time, Kalosmi, that he was got in this engagement with this crocodile, an animal of the water. And then he was being pulled in, and the heffalumps and the female elephants are pulling away the tail of their lord. But he's getting a reaction, you know, from the previous situation. He got the body of an elephant, but he got a benediction that he would be saved by Vishnu. So all the elephants are trying to pull, and Gajendra trying to pull. And because he, in his previous life, remembered shlokas. So it's very good for those brahmachari, anyone who's studied shlokas. You never know when you need them, you know, your next birth, what have you, you know. So finally, he remembered very beautiful prayers and worship of the Lord. And he took a lotus flower with his trunk and placed it into the air. And then he made a supplication. Now there was, first of all, Parvati. She heard the call. Oh, Lord Shiva, go, go, go. And he goes, nope, this call is not for me. Well, if you don't go, I will go. Nope, it's not for us. Lord Brahma heard. And Lord Brahma, no, it's not for me. And Lord Vishnu was honoring very nice, opulent prasad, and he kicked over the plate to run. And he was going so quickly, he forgot his uttariya, his chatur, like this. No, chatur, it wasn't. No, sorry. And he forgot his chatur. And then Lakshmi's running, you know, she's flying behind him. Because when Bhagavan goes on stage, everything is pakka, nothing like, you know, out of kilter. Like sometimes, you know, in the early days, when the devotees had different color socks and holes in one end, that one. But the days he used to wash the clothing, and then you go to the basket, and you pick out, well, that looks good, that looks good. It's all kind of a communal basket, you know. Hey, wait a minute, those are my red socks. No. So anyways, in this way, the Lord came, and he delivered Gajendra in that sense, and he killed the crocodile and delivered Gajendra. In that way, the curse was broken. But I was just, you know, thinking about this concept of how we are in this material field, and we become so absorbed in these external affairs, external realities. And we begin to think in terms of, because this verse in the center of the purport is speaking about this principle of I and mine. Ahankara vimudatma. We become bewildered by these illusions because you're not that particular machine. The sari that you had doesn't belong to you. The brahmachari, the saffron kurta, good color. Nice, you can tell fired up brahmacharis in the temple, if the colors are strong or that, you know, kind of like in the middle, you know, I'm just open. So anyways, many different angles. But you find out that we become attached towards various possessions. We become attached to various externals. And we develop a sense of pride. Even if you may be, you are in the Brahmagodiya Sampradaya. You may be in a Sampradaya. But if, whether it's whatever sampradaya you align yourself with, if you do not give up this conception of I and mine, you are externally in this sampradaya. In other words, of course, we can't condemn a dirty person in the shower. We're all in the field of purification. But the goal of any sampradaya is to train us to become free from the concept of I and mine. Then you come to the platform of worshiping that eternal Father in an unalloyed sense. Because all sampradayas lead to worship of Radha and Krishna. And in that way, we can see we're on, we're not externally putting on the profile of a devotee in this field or that field, but actually we've imbibed it with our heart, that service and attitude of the heart. And we should prepare ourselves to become purified in all situations, no matter how embarrassing. Now, what do I mean by that?
There's a nice story about Narada. You know the whole history of Narada, how he became, like, you know, for those who know Bengali, Kokbalu Brahmachari. Anyone knows Kokbalu means?
Very nice.
Yeah, very nice. Pukka. Big beads. Oh, sorry. But, you know, big beads like that. And so anyways, Lord Indra became envious. You know the story. And he sent Cupid to distract him because he's performing tapasya in a cave. And in this way, because of his sadhana, he was able to overcome the power of Cupid. But then he became a little bit proud. You know, it's like after a big day of books, Melbourne, downtown, Swanson Street, you know, shoot 100 books today, you know, come back. Or whoever, you know, whatever amount might be, you know. And the name's off in the morning. Of course, no devotees are like this here. Of course, I used to distribute here, so that I was like that. So that, I can understand his mentality very clearly. But, so in this way, Narada became a bit proud. So then he went to Indra's planet. And all the demigods are, God. Because actually, philosophically speaking, that there's a supreme God and there's many other gods. Small size. Small g. I always say that. Otherwise, nice class, Maharaj, but never again. No. That you're all, you know, there are many small gods. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna. We're all his energy. And we should view one another in that light, in a sense, in a godly way. In that way, because, you know, Prabhupada said, you never know who's sitting next to you. It could be Narada Muni. You never know who you're dealing with. Anyone who comes, anyone who's chanting Hare Krishna, anyone who's coming to the temple, doing some seva, management, distribution, worshiping the deities, anyone who's doing congregational service, any connection with Krishna is Sa Mahatma Sadurlabha. Such a great soul is very rare. So you have to be very careful. But on the same light, we can see the devotees are actually insurance policies for spiritual progression. Because remember my earlier point, you look in the mirror, you made a wrong turn somewhere. Due to your capacity to enjoy, to try and enjoy separately from Krishna, then you're placed in the sandbox, transit lounge of this material world, where we have so many glowworm personalities, and we've forgotten the Supreme Father. We can't even remember the demigods. So in this way, Narada Muni became a little proud. And in that way, you know, he's kind of, even he sat in the chair of Indra and began to give worship. Yeah, I conquered Cupid. And then he was on traveling again. He's a transcendental avidut. And then he traveled by Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva saw this, impure consciousness in his heart. And he said, don't, because he told Lord Shiva, you know what I did? I completely defeated Cupid. So in this way, you know, Lord Shiva says, do me one favor. Don't tell Lord Vishnu what you told me. And then Narada, hey, come on, I know the philosophy. I've been to the Sunny Feast so many times. I've seen it all, come on, you know. I've been shaking my beads for 15 years, you know, like this. Got it all down. I've seen it all. So anyways, there was some, he went to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu says, oh, so Narada, how are you doing? Ah, you know, Narada had some abhiman, you know, some kind of inner desire, pride. So the Lord, without him saying it, could say, oh, what's wrong? Narada Muni will take advantage of you. Hopefully nothing's, you know, no parallel. No. But what's wrong? You know, you think you're a Kokbala Brahmachari, you defeated Cupid, you know, but who do you think all the abilities are coming from? Because verse is speaking, where it's all, what is the source?
Where's the Paramgatin, the supreme destination? Who is the source giving you these abilities? And then, oh, no, yes, everything's coming by your mercy, my Lord. Yes, you know. And I know the philosophy. He wouldn't say it to him, you know. So then Lord Vishnu devised a special plan. My devotee is proud. Because, you see, the Lord does not like pride. And when we fall into the arena of pride, then we find ourselves in the sandbox of the material world. Even for devotees, even on devotees we get proud, Krishna corrects them. Like you see in four Kumaras or Jai and Vijay, some pride in overstepping their bounds. No, these four Kumaras cannot come in. Of course, that's an offense they made to Lakshmi at a certain time. But the reaction was they cursed. The four Kumaras cursed Jai and Vijay and they became demons, etc. So that's an example of where pride can develop, where the Lord makes an arrangement. Okay, you go to the material world. You have a choice, whether five births as devotees or three births as demons. We want to be back with you, so we'll take the demon role, like that. And then, so then his example here at Narada, which you'll see, I'll come back to the story. And even with the gopis who are dancing with Lord Krishna in the Rasa dance, that they developed some pride, and finally there was only one gopi able to see Krishna, to be with him. And then even Krishna disappeared. She became a little proud. So it doesn't matter what level you're on, pramad, and there's moha, illusion develops. The pramad, the pride, and the illusion develops. It doesn't matter who you are. That's why, again, each one of you are insurance policies. See, taking shelter of the holy name, and to deal with each other in a progressive manner so you can make spiritual advancement. So Narada, he was a bit proud. So then the Lord made the special arrangement that Narada, he went to this one kingdom in his travels, and he saw this beautiful queen, forgotten her name, very beautiful queen, and there's going to be a Swayamvara ceremony to marry her. And Narada Muni goes, wow, whoever marries this girl will have all opulences, will be the most wealthy and most powerful. He gave up his vows as a strict Naishtika Brahmachari. And he began to contemplate, oh my goodness, all this tapasya, living off the hard floor, and sometimes eating off the floor, and listening to 14 different alarm clocks in the ashram. Of course, maybe alarm. I remember in my old days of brahmachari, 14 brahmacharis, 14 different alarm clocks, and they'd all go off, and no one would get up. I don't know if that happens in brahmachari ashram, but you're just finally. I was actually thinking maybe we should design a bed. It's built into the wall. And the time goes on, it just drops them on the ground. Wake up! I can see Hare Krishna cruelty with the Hare Krishnas. They drop their kids from the wall. Get up! So Narada Muni became a little bit proud. So then he'd be developing an infatuation. And in this way, he wanted to, because it was a Swayamvara ceremony, so then he wanted to, okay, I got to win this girl. So I'm going to be my best. So he went to Vishnu. Lord Vishnu. I'll ask, Kripalu here. He's the closest. Kripalu. Oh, Vishnu, please give me your beauty. And the Lord says, okay, I'll do that. But I won't give you anything. I won't give you anything that won't be good for you. And Narada was so intoxicated. Oh, she's so beautiful. Whatever you want, just give me your beauty. So then came to the Swayamvara ceremony. And in the Vedic times, all these amazing arrangements and all kinds of chairs and festoon, all this opulence is there. So Narada Muni's coming in. And so the mystical arrangement was there. He's coming in all proudful. And then all the suitors sit in one row for all, so the queen can, And there was two attendants of Lord Shiva that were in right there watching in the peanut gallery, Yeah, and they're pointing to each other. Yep, she's definitely going to pick this one here, Narada Muni. He's got the most attractive features. He's most handsome, most beautiful. And Narada Muni's saying, oh, okay, very good, very good. Vishnu's blessing. And the
this way, so he's becoming a little intoxicated.
And then it comes for the queen to walk by. Now, the only personalities was the queen and these two attendants of Shiva who could actually see what had actually happened in Narada Muni. And she looked at him and, oh, yuck, and walked off. Oh, he was sitting in his chair like this. You know, trying to somehow get her attention. And the two attendants of Lord Shiva are laughing. The queen was incensed. She was so angry. How dare! Ugh, yuck! Like, what are you talking about? So then, the attendants of Lord Shiva indicated to Narada, take a look at your reflection in that water over there. He went over.
Banda!
He saw a monkey head! Vishnu! Can you believe that? Narada was so angry. What is this? You gave me a monkey head! He, first of all, if you're angry, you curse anyone who's around you. Okay, creepaloop? For your so-called joke, I mean, you're laughing at me, you know, you'll get, anyways, I'll get away from that. So then the agents of Lord Shiva, they were cursed that they will have to get a material birth like that. Oh, and they're, oh, no, please, we mean to laugh at you. You know, you're laughing at a sadhu, you're laughing at a sage when he's down and out. You know, it's just like, you know, when that weak point for the brahmachari, after a day of sankirtan, you're really hungry, you know. You go by a 7-Eleven, no one's looking. And 4:25, and you buy that favorite peppermint magnum. The TP's not going to know, hopefully. You know, no, so anyway, it's a weak point. I'm joking, guys, don't worry. But sannyasis eat ice cream, too. No, but in that way, you know, you feel a weak point. You're kicked when you're down and out. And Narada was angry. So he goes and he finds Vishnu. Vishnu, you have a nerve. You, like that, you know. You steal other men's wives, and you are so audacious. You go to the forest of Jarakonda, and you cause so many problems for others. And you, Narada Muni lost it. Of course, I'm adding that, you know, the bird, anyways. That's just to kind of get you going. Station break, keep everybody awake, you know. But how can you do this? You run in the battlefield. You're Noah's Rancho. He lost it. Narada Muni, eternal Parshada of a supreme personality Godhead, had lost it. And he'd been cursing the Lord. I tell you what. You're going to have to have monkey, you're going to be forced to take a human form, and you're going to have monkey associates help you get your wife back. Because, see, what happened was, Lord Vishnu came as the best suitor. And the queen, I forgot to say that. And the queen garlanded the best man, who was Vishnu. Oh, I love boy, you. So attached, you see, you know, the pull away, the heart, you know, the heartstrings like that. So in this way, the Lord was there with his new queen. But then, after the curse, then the queen disappeared. And then, because Narada cursed, you're going to have your wife taken from you, and you're going to have to be surrounded by monkey soldiers to do it. Take that, Vishnu. Phew! And then all of a sudden, Narada came back to his... The queen disappeared, and he realized, what have I done? I've cursed Vishnu. Please, my lord, because he knows his own power. Please, I withdraw this curse. Please do not have this curse take effect. But of course, as we see in these situations, the Lord covers his devotee over. Of course, Narada Muni developed a sense of pride. The Lord wanted to humble him and make him angry, so then he'd be cursed, so then he can act his pastimes as Lord Ramachandra. In this way, we can see the dynamics of the father's pastimes. And it becomes like such a wonderful experience to see How? The devotees are even corrected. They're given a sense of complete nourishment, a sense of complete direction. So we want to develop that mood of priti purvakam, of loving attraction and loving relationship, as it's described here, to engage in service with the Supreme Personality. Like I was saying earlier, I always like to study the transatlantic material world. So he's came through the holiday season, you know. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. They develop so much mental concentration in various fields of giving gifts and accepting gifts. But it's not a dadati prati grihi niti principle. In the material, you get something, I get something more, you know. Whoever dies at the end of the day or the most toys wins. So in this way, it becomes a very complex arena. And we lose the focus of becoming a servant, the mood of becoming a servant. One nice pastime with Hanuman is he was fighting with Ravan. And so first of all, Hanuman said, actually, Ravan, you punch me first, no problem. And then Ravana, you know, Ravana is intoxicated, you know, having benedictions by Lord Shiva, and bring all these, you know, you hit me first, little monkey. And Hanuman, many yojanas. So then Ravana comes back, you know, like this. He comes back, and, good, good. So then Hanuman goes, now you punch me. Then Ravana, he wound up, he did his best martial arts, you know, kick punch. Hanuman's still there. Like, kind of like, you know, oh. Hanuman's laughing, but then he looked down and he saw one of his hairs had bent.
Oh, look what you did.
And Ravana's thinking, what's going on? You know, pain for you, a little piece of wimpy monkey, a little bent hair. I knew it, I was stronger. You know, Hanuman's even didn't bend, but he was, oh, my hair's been bent. Now, what's wrong with you, small fry, you know? But Hanuman said, my body belongs to Ram. So anything that we possess, it belongs to the Father, very simple. So in this way, he saw everything belongs to the Supreme Lord and that his body is meant for his service. So in this way, he could not tolerate any instruments, you know, instruments that are being given to him by the Supreme Lord to be misused in any way, shape, or form. So it's a matter of our devotion. That is what's going to attract the Lord. The sages, the different sages, who wanted to get the darshan of Lord Ramachandra, these rishis and powerful rishis, great mahants, and they had performed tapasya for thousands of years, and they wanted to see Lord Ramachandra. But he came into the forest, he walked past all these sages, and went to see one great devotee named Subari. She was a very great devotee of the Lord. Actually, she's considered an outcast. And all the sages had actually chastised the Mahant who gave shelter to Subari. And she was just so amazed. Can you imagine the Supreme walking into your ashram, walking right before you, not in the altar anymore. A lot of times devotees have this conception, you know, that the deity is locked on the altar, you know. That's it. Accepting foodstuffs, watching the foodstuffs come around. But the Thakurji, you know, the whole Sakshi Gopal pastime, you know, well, if you can talk, you can walk. So the Lord, he can come anywhere. Anyways, he came to her little ashram, and she's thinking, you know, what does she have? And she got some berries, some fruit, and she got some fruit, and I got to offer it to the Lord. I got to make sure it's good. And so she tasted it first.
Not a recommendation program for
Maharaj said that he can take no. we have to understand, but this is a very highly elevated devotee, because the Lord is not into all these externals, but he's into the mood, the bhav of seva, of surrender. This verse is talking about surrender, it's talking about seva in relationship. So the Lord, when he tasted that fruit, tasted by his devotee, he took that as the highest relishment. The highest, this is all the remnants of my own devotee. This is the supreme. And this is why we see in Krishna Lila, the Lord is so misunderstood. How he can take birth as a coward boy. How he can relish being chastised by his devotees. How he can relish being made to dance for some chach. The gopis are making Krishna dance. We'll give you some chach. So Krishna's dancing this way and that way. All these persons, and Krishna loves to be told off by his unalloyed devotees. But in terms of the arena, Vaikuntha, Dwarka, where the Lord is worshipped in Ashvarya, it's a rules and regulation program. You just don't step out of line. Of course, the bliss experienced by a resident of Braj and a resident in terms of Dwarka, there's the same bliss, but it is, in a sense, it's seen as absolute. But because the relations in Braj are more complete, they're more intimate. Like probably an example, the judge may give instructions in the court, but when he goes home, he's on all fours with the children. There's much more higher degree of intimacy. So in this way, with the Lord's pastimes, we see the beauty of these affairs, the sense of intimacy. And as this verse is describing, the devotee understands who the Father is, offers respects in all situations. And the most important part that came for me in this purport is to give up the conception of I and mine. Then you're in the pocket of the wave of Krishna consciousness. You're in the pocket of the wave of becoming a transcendental distributor. And at this temple, you see such a wonderful facility, base for Krishna consciousness. From the beautiful deity worship and the temple, you have management, you have so many facilities, distribution. I was looking the other day on the internet how Melbourne is the number one city, the most user-friendly city to live in the world. I was amazed. Melbourne is the most user-friendly. Melbourne key. No, that's okay. Wow. Jai Prabhupada. So in that way, what an arena. And the preaching, and you get the book distribution, and you have various fields. And today, the Snanatra, where the Supreme Lord himself yearly becomes a little bit sick. Oh, it's that time, Subhadra, you know. Like this. It gets a little bit sick. And after a snan, you know, we glorify the Lord. And then he's placed, and the devotees are taking care and writing cards. And the Lord's got a fever. Even Jananivas in Mayapur. True story. He was actually by Jagannath's altar. You know, you've been to Mayapur and you see the beautiful Jagannath deity separate from the main compound. And he went there once and he could hear from in the deity row, or Rade, like they're sneezing. The Lord was sneezing like that. So this is, the Lord, it's not just it's an actual reality. The Lord becomes sick. The devotees have to take care of the Lord. Then, I mean, only Bhagavan has this lila where he has an eternal form, Satchitananda Vigraha, and then he gets sick. And after his sickness, a couple weeks later, let's have a party. Let's go out to St. Kilda and have a road show, you know, chant the holy names. So this is Bhagavan enjoying on this particular plane. What to speak of the original plane of eternal service to the Lord. So I will stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments about the subject we've just spoken about?
Anything at all? Yes.
We're talking about the transit launch. I mean, the guy was stuck in the 3 years.
Yes, transit launch.
It was the movie The Terminal.
Oh, really?
Tom Hanks acted as the person.
Huh.
But the original story is an Iranian who was stuck in the Paris International Airport.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, I think 8 years or
8 years, was it? My God. Wow.
Wow. Amazing. The transit lounge, you know. You see, you're saying that in the real history, it wasn't 3 years, 8 years, you know, stuck in this transit lounge. Of course, how many billions of years we've been the transit lounge of the material world? Billions and billions and billions.
Does anybody have a fear of heights here?
Okay.
Fear of fire? She raised her hand. No. Fear of fire? Anybody? No fear of fire? Fear? Who can't swim here?
Fear.
Fear of water. How about closed places? Yeah, me too. I got that closed place. Must have been a chimney sweep previous birth or something. No, but those fearful impressions are actually remembrance from your previous birth, how you left this body. That, because the thing is, for the materialist, my body, my body. And when you leave, it's like, oh, that's it. Oh, that's it. So that's the last impression. So these impressions, whether it's heights or fire, water, like this, these are all remembrance from a previous situation. And that's why it's very important that we understand we have been here for billions of years, developing so many wild habits. Of course, in spiritual time, no more than the blink of an eye in terms of spiritual time. But it's amazing because we've all experienced the dreams. You know, 5 second dream, you see a gold, you see a mountain, gold mountain like that, so you become intoxicated. So don't become intoxicated. You have a wonderful field to make this the best use of the bad bargain. And today, what a kickoff. What a kickoff. Wake up in the transit lounge. The Supreme wants to be bathed. He gets sick and he can have a party in a couple weeks. So tune in and become part of a spiritual history. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Jagu Shri Prabhupada Ki, Guru Premana.